Hey, Weekly Pulse on all things green and gold, alongside the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde. I'm ESPN Wisconsin's Alex Stroff, coming to you live. It's playoff week, wild card weekend. The seventh-seeded Green Bay Packers are right. I'm not coming to you live. This is recorded. The seventh-seeded Green Bay Packers traveling to Soldier Field to take on the second-seeded Chicago Bears. Only the third postseason matchup between these two teams in NFL history, dating back to the first meeting in 1941, which the Bears won. The last meeting in 2010, the NFC Championship game, which the Packers won. So I guess you could view this as a playoff rubber match of sorts to go along with the regular season rubber match for two teams that split the regular season series. Should be a really fun one. Really looking forward to this game on Saturday night on Peacock. Jason Wilde, what a week.
What an intro. Hi.
Hi, buddy. You looking forward to going back to Chicago for the second time in, what, 3 weeks?
I am. It's this is, as Aaron Rodgers taught us, you earn your paycheck in the regular season, you write your legacy in the postseason. So we'll see what they do, what their legacy ends up being. But I'm super curious to see how this plays out, because there is a distinct quiet confidence, although Jeff Hafley wasn't particularly quiet about it. There's definitely a confidence there.
I do want to talk about Jeff Hafley at some point, because boy, what'd you tweet? What a guy, I think you said about Jeff
this
Hafley.
This guy, I learned that from Sid. That's her line. This guy, listen, this guy.
So, your kids are funnier than you, aren't they?
They are. They're very funny. Yeah, they're both very funny.
I've noticed. So
funnier than you too, by the way.
Not a high bar. Not a high bar at all.
Yeah. And more athletic.
Again, not a high bar at all. Not a high bar at all. I want to go back to something you and I have talked about many, many times over the course of this season, and really even the offseason. And that is, both of us, especially you, though, because me from a fan perspective is a little bit different than maybe what you want as a journalist and the storyteller that you are. But you have been very adamant about wanting this rivalry to be renewed and reborn. And effectively, you've said, I want the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams to be good, because they haven't been for so long. And that just gives more oomph to what this rivalry is. And now here we are at the end of the regular season, entering the playoffs, and it's do or die for both of these teams pitted up against one another in the wild card round of the playoffs. So everything you've talked about for months is coming to fruition here in wild card weekend. The Bears seemingly are ahead of schedule, but they're the two seed in the NFC. It seems like they have arrived already here in year one of the Ben Johnson era. For the Packers, this is year one of their all-in, if you will, but they're dealing with some devastating injuries. Their best offensive player, not named Jordan Love, tore his ACL in November. Their best defensive player tore his ACL in December, in Micah Parsons. So they're dealing with some injuries here in year one of their all-in era. But they're a team that for the third straight year is in the postseason, and they do have their franchise quarterback. So here we are, the two teams with the longest rivalry in the National Football League, for only the third time, surprisingly, meeting in the postseason. Just that storyline alone, Jason, how much does that excite you?
Yeah, I'm a visionary. I mean, let's be honest here.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Like, this has played out exactly as I hoped. Ben Johnson's a little douchier than I would prefer, but he makes a pretty good villain. He's kind of like what's the movie with the Despicable Me, right? With the minions and Gru. He's kind of like that guy that steals the moon, right? Like, he's kind of snivelly. Like, I think that's how I view him as the villain. Like, he's a little weaselly. Look, I'm sure Bears fans are eating his shtick up.
Oh,
but
totally.
He's, you know, the shirt thing, the LaFleur quote, then this week, we play our guys. Yeah, you did, and they lost.
We play football, I believe, was the quote. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't quite – I didn't have that written in my script. But, yeah, he's – I mean, it's great. Like, this is exactly what I wanted. Like, they're playing win-or-go-home football now on Saturday night, and Caleb Williams is good. I personally don't believe, you know, our buddy David Kaplan – He's not better than Jordan Love today.
No.
He may be next year. I don't know. Right? I mean, the guy was the first overall pick. Like, he's good? He damn well better be. You invested your entire franchise in him. So, look, this is what I was hoping for. After the game on December 20th, Sylvie, Mark Silverman of Waddle and Sylvie at our sister station, ESPN Chicago, texted me, you got what you wanted. It's a rivalry. Yeah, I did. And I can't wait for Saturday night because I do think, and I'm eager to see if my hypothesis is proven true. I think these guys are out for blood. I think they're really pissed that they lost the game in Chicago, that they really feel like they shouldn't have, that yeah. And look, you always, like Evan Williams said yesterday, you always respect your opponent, but like they know they should not have lost that game. And I think Josh Jacobs said a similar thing, like his fumble, he was saying like, I don't fumble that ball. We win the game. Yeah.
Yep.
If you don't go 0 for 5 in the red zone, if Romeo doesn't muff the onside kick, if they don't blow the coverage on that zero blitz on the touchdown that ties it up at the end of regulation. Like there were, you know, again, I got an unexpected call from Mike McCarthy last night, and I dropped while we were talking, we were just shooting the breeze about, you know, the Packers and the playoffs. And he said he couldn't believe that they lost that game in Chicago. And I said, yeah, it kind of reminded me of, I said, I think I've seen that game before, but it was in Seattle. And then he uttered an expletive. Like, it's true though. Like that's the vibe I get from them. Like I mentioned earlier in the week after talking to Xavier McKinney, you know, and him saying that he didn't even want to answer a question about where he thinks the defense is at. I'm going to keep that in house. Well, I don't know if you keep it in house if you think your defense sucks. I kind of feel like they're trying to say, look, let's not say anything that makes us sound like Ben Johnson. Maybe Jeff Hafley might have violated that, but the players have not.
Sure. Surprised to hear Big Mike's giving you a ring. How's he doing? Is he good?
Yeah, he
he's got some big interviews coming up, I see.
Yeah, it was not work related. It was he thought that someone else named Jason had called him. And so he called me and said, "What the hell are you calling me for? There's a lot going on right now." And I said, "Mike, I didn't call you." And so then, you know, look, when he failed and had, you know, coaching mistakes, whatever else, it was my job to report on those and write about those. But
yeah.
I hope Packers fans appreciate what an outstanding human being he is, first and foremost, and then remember what a damn good football coach he was when he was here.
You saw the applause he got earlier in the season.
Yeah, exactly. That was
right?
Great.
Mark Tauscher got the second loudest applause.
Didn't even wave.
And Mike McCarthy definitely got the loudest applause at that game because I think, you know, time heals all wounds, right? It was similar with Brett Favre when he came back for his jersey retirement. Time heals all wounds, and then you remember the great moments. And Mike McCarthy is a Super Bowl winning head coach, so obviously he's appreciated now by Packers fans, at least by me. That's that. Fun to hear his name brought up. I guess while we're on the topic of head coaching interviews, just coming across from Diana Russini, the Titans officially have a request out for Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley to interview for their head coaching vacancy. He was asked about that yesterday at the podium in Green Bay ahead of Packers Bears, Jason. Obviously, this is a guy we've talked about all year that is going to get a lot of interest as a future head coach in this league. And with seven openings, it seems like it's only a matter of time for him. But his message to you guys was, yeah, we'll look at that once the season comes to an end. Right now, I'm focused on the Bears.
Yeah, but, you know, he's a smart guy, right? Like, he understands what he's supposed to say there. You know, someone else asked the direct question, and you know me, I like to be a little less direct with my questions. And so my hope was to get him, and he delivered exactly what I was hoping he would about just how, you know, what this time has meant to him. And he flat out said, yeah, do I want to be a head coach again someday? Yes, I do. But I thought his soliloquy about, you know, where this team is at and what they have accomplished and what he's eager to continue to do was a really neat deal. And he's an easy guy to like, and I am very curious to see where and if he winds up, because again, and this is not wishful thinking, because I'm not super worried. Like, I love interacting with him. He and I have an awesome relationship. He was completely thrown off yesterday when I sat in a different seat in the press conference. I really enjoy our interactions, but this is the circle of NFL life. And if he gets that opportunity, great. But again, I'm looking at the jobs, and obviously he's a New Jersey guy, if the Giants hire John Harbaugh, which of these jobs do you love? Like, I'm sorry. I mean, maybe
Atlanta?
Brian. Yeah, maybe, but like, what are they doing at quarterback? Michael Penix Jr., talented cat. Like, he's also like 47 years old with all the time he spent in college. And if he had a third ACL, he would tear it, right? Like, he's a terrific player, but he has had such terrible luck injury-wise going back to when he was at Indiana. So, you know, is that job appealing? I don't want to work in Cleveland,
no.
Right? The Raiders feel like they should hire Brian
Baltimore
Flores.
Baltimore, too. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if there's a chance that this isn't kind of a Ben Johnson type deal where Ben Johnson stayed another year in Detroit to wait for a better head coaching chance the next time around.
Yeah, my fingers are crossed in that respect, because I used the term earlier, the all-in years, right? When you take a swing for a guy like Micah Parsons, like the Packers did this offseason, that indicates to me that they are going all in, which is another reason I believe Matt LaFleur will be extended once the season comes to an end. But I don't know how much time we'll spend on that today, as we've spent a ton of time on that this week across, whether that's Wilde and Tausch, KBN, Mr. Irrelevant, and all of the in-betweens on ESPN Wisconsin. Been a big topic of conversation, but we will see. Jordan Love is healthy, Jason, and I think that's a big-time advantage for Green Bay. He has not played since, the last time these two teams played at Soldier Field, back on December 20th. Did not clear protocol for the Ravens game. Cleared protocol, but obviously the Packers sat all of their starters against the Vikings in a disgusting preseason-esque game last week, in what I view as kind of a cleanse the palate game. And now it's a full go for number 10 against Chicago here in the wild card round of the playoffs. Do you view that as a big advantage for Green Bay?
I don't know if it's a big advantage, but it's certainly like, look, I think people have forgotten, which is hard to believe in like a 2.5 week span. They went into Denver and he was undeniably in the MVP conversation. Now, I would say he was no higher than third if I was the voter, which I'm not, but it was Matthew Stafford, Drake May, and then maybe Christian McCaffrey, maybe Jordan Love, but Jordan Love was next on the list. And, you know, we were kind of joking at the time, like, he's an MVP candidate, but he may not be the MVP of his own team, right? Because of Micah Parsons, which since his injury, there might be something to that. But I think people forgot how well he was playing. Now, to me, and this is what I'm going to write today or tomorrow, the storyline to me is, what has he learned from his playoff experiences? Like, again, he had a perfect passer rating when Matt LaFleur lifted him in Dallas. And then Matt LaFleur panicked and ruined it with a dropped pass by Tucker Kraft. And then he ended up with like 157.2, if I remember correctly.
You know that. That's 100% correct.
And then for two quarters and all but the final play of the third quarter, he was really good in San Francisco. Then he throws the pick on the last play of the third quarter. Then he throws the pick at the end of the game.
Yep.
And then he threw three picks in Philly.
Yep.
And so we had a good conversation with him yesterday because, and I'm sure I'm not the only one writing about this, but how do those experiences shape his preparation for Saturday night? Like, everybody's focused on rust and how much time it's been since he played. I'm focused on what have you learned from your failures in the postseason, and how is that going to make you better in this one? And I think, avoiding hero ball is probably a part of that equation.
I totally agree with you on that point, and we'll get back to that in just a moment. But you mentioned it almost seems like his playoffs stats have gotten worse every playoff game he's played. The first game obviously set the bar very high. 316 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and you nailed it. It was a 157.2 quarterback rating against Dallas. 194 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions against San Francisco in 2023's playoffs. And then last year, 212 yards. You mentioned the 3 interceptions, but also did not toss a touchdown pass in that game. So 212 yards, no touchdowns, and 3 interceptions against Philly. So while he was awesome in his playoff debut, has not been so awesome since, 5 interceptions in 2 games since. That's the part where I go, okay, Jordan, you're $55 million man now. It's kind of do or die here in a situation where, yes, the Packers are the 7 seed. Yes, they are going on the road. Yes, they are missing some key pieces. But if you're the better quarterback in this game, you better at the very minimum keep it close, if not outright win it.
Yeah, and look, he was, what was it, the second quarter that he took that hit from Austin Booker. So, like, again, that's another part. Because Malik Willis has played so well, we also kind of discount that. Like, on top of all the other stuff that happened in that game, they also lose their starting quarterback. Like, and Malik Willis is great. I think that. But,
You know,
like,
that really is lost in the shuffle of that meltdown.
Right?
It really is.
It is incredible how that, because of every, like, look, the other stuff was way, like, the busted coverage on the game tying touchdown after they recover the onside kick is incredible. Like, that guy, like, Halfley, you could say that he's there. I know there's some that are like, God, why is this guy getting glazed so much? It's just give me a break. That, when you post that video like I did yesterday, you get all kinds of responses of all stripes. But like, they dialed up the perfect call, right? Like, Brenton Cox is on the quarterback, on Caleb Williams, like, what's the old saying, white on rice.
Yeah.
Like, he's grabbing him as he's chucking it up with a wing and a prayer. And it just happens to be that that dude that he threw it to, Walker, no one covered him at all. Like, if anybody's even in the vicinity, it's probably intercepted or broken up. So, again, lots of stuff went wrong. I think that fuels their confidence. If you're a Packers fan, obviously you hope that they're not cocky about it, but they should expect to win. They're the better team right now. That doesn't mean next year the Bears won't be the better team. But right now, today, there's a reason why they're favored on the road. They are the better team. Will they play like it? We have to wait and see.
Yeah, ever so slight road favorites as that line in Vegas has just continued to waver and move. But as it stands right now, 1.5 point favorite for Green Bay. The Bears were the number 3 best rushing offense in the NFL this season. And
Easy one.
2 weeks ago, when the Packers played their starters and wanted to win against Baltimore, well, Derrick Henry had like a career day in what is likely a Hall of Fame career for Derrick Henry against Green Bay at Lambeau Field in their regular season finale at Lambeau. Well, really, their season finale at Lambeau. I think that's a key piece of this game because the Bears are going to try to play keep away. They're going to try to run DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manungai and try to take time off the clock and just run it down their throats like they saw Derrick Henry do successfully just 2 weeks ago. I imagine you view similarly for Chicago. That is their key to winning this football game.
Yeah, and the key to the Packers winning this football game is to not get the same result that they got from Derrick Henry. Like, I don't care if you have to bring out the ghost of Gilbert Brown, but that can't. And Gilbert's still with us, and
I
I
was going to
love
say he's
Gilbert.
not dead. I don't know
The
if
ghost of
he's
him as a
Gilbert Brown.
player,
Sure,
as a
sure.
he's been retired. He's like 50 years old, like me, so he's retired for a long time. you can't bring him out. Bring him out as he is now, because I don't think that would help you. But he's also lost a bunch of weight. He looks great. But they can't, like, the interior of that line has to be better. And I, you know, Jonathan Ford was here for 2 years. He never played. And now you're counting on him. Nasir Stackhouse fell out of favor early in the season. Now you're counting on him. Obviously, Colby Wooden and Carl Brooks are still there. But, like, whoo, boy. You bet, you know, and look, they've defended the Bears' run game as well as anybody,
Yeah, they
right?
have.
Like for as much, you know, I think they had 138 yards the first game. I think they had 150 yards the second game. Like, yeah, those are, you know, they average 144, I think. So they're kind of right on the average, but they made them run the ball a bunch to get to those numbers. So I like they haven't played the run poorly. The biggest thing to me is they have to, if a guy gets a 2 or 3 yard gain, they can't let the pile move to make it a 5, 6, 7 yard gain. And that's the way, if you remember, they never had a run longer than 9 yards in that game at Lambeau, but they ran it 32 times and they had the ball a lot. Like, you're exactly right. I would think that would be the game plan. But again, the Packers' game plan is don't suck in the red zone, right? Don't turn the ball over. Don't suck in the red zone. And we are better than these guys.
Yeah, they've had troubles with the red zone the last month of the season, which, again, your quarterback's been dealing with some injuries, but it even dates back further than that, right? They had some troubles in Denver. They obviously had troubles against Chicago, both when he was healthy and when Malik Willis took over. Had some trouble against Baltimore in the red zone. Like, it's been a persistent issue the last month plus for Green Bay. Now, does that magically get solved when Jordan Love returns to the fold and they go on the road for the postseason? Hopefully, but I don't have a magic eight ball to tell me whether or not that's the case. I wish I did. You might have a magic eight ball behind you in one of your shelves. But I don't really know what to expect. I expect a close game. I expect a back and forth game. I expect one that will have me eating my fingernails to the nubs, and on the edge of my seat. But that's about all I've got for you, Jason. I don't know what to expect from this game. I'm curious, outside of obviously the Bears wanting to effectively rush the football, what else you're expecting and what else you've learned from the previous two matchups going into this third matchup, this rubber match, wild card weekend. What's your eye on?
Can't find my Euchre eight ball of the Bob Euchre one. I
Oh,
can't find
wow.
it. All right. Were you talking? I wasn't listening. No, I was. I was just acting. Look,
You're a strange
obviously,
dude.
thank you. I am very curious how they're going to stop the run. I am very, here's one thing that's sneaky to answer your question. Like, they lost Bo Melton. They lost Christian Welch a while ago. They lost Zane Anderson. Like, their coverage units, everybody's talking about Daniel Whelan, and he's been great. There's no doubt about it. But, like, their coverage units have been pretty good. Their kickoff coverage units have been pretty good. Like, everybody hates Bisaccia. I get it. They're all critical of him. I understand. And he deserves, let me be clear, some of the criticism is richly deserved, right? There's been some catastrophic mistakes that were big time problems. Now, all that said, their special teams coverage units have been pretty good. The Bears have a pretty damn good return guy in Duvernay. Like, that has a potential recipe, and those are the types of things that turn these games, right? Yesterday was the 30th anniversary of the wild card, or the was it the wild card round game? It was the, or maybe it was divisional. Packers 49ers at Lambeau. You were like just a little baby. But that was the game, or were you even born yet?
30 years ago now, I was
Yeah,
born.
no, you weren't. You were just a gleam in your papa's eye.
That's uncomfortable. Keep going.
Well, there were more uncomfortable. What's the line
I'd prefer if you just stopped.
No, I'm not going to. Oh, it's a Lethal Weapon. You were just an itch in your daddy's pants.
Is my dad's favorite movie, so good job.
There we go.
Yeah.
Because he's a lot like Murtaugh, right? Or was he more like Riggs as a cop? Anyway, so I, like that is one of those, because in that game, that was when Desmond Howard was Desmond Howard. Like that was his moment before he had the kickoff return for the touchdown in the Super Bowl. And so that's the kind of stuff that allows a team to win a game like that. And so that would make me a little apprehensive if I'm Richard J. Bisaccia. So that's sneaky. We've talked about Love. He doesn't have to be Superman, but he has to be on point. He can't turn the ball over, and he's got to make sure that he's, you know, not playing hero ball. I think the other biggest thing, you're talking about their run game. Josh Jacobs is finally healthy. These guys are a different team.
Healthy.
Yeah, I think he is. I mean, in talking with him, like, dude's barely played in 3 weeks. Like, he's played more Jordan Love. But, like, the Bears game, they took him out after the fumble. We never saw him again. That was with 6:37 left in the third quarter.
Right. Yeah, he didn't play much in the second half of that game.
I think he played 12 snaps against Baltimore. Carried the ball 4 times for 3 yards.
Correct.
So he basically had the day off. And then obviously he had the day off in full in Minnesota. So he says that the swelling in his knee is gone. He also revealed that he was dealing with an ankle injury. So, like, he, as he put it, I was basically playing on one leg. Well, now he's got 2 legs. So let's see what you're going to go out and do.
Do they care at all that they ended the season with 4 straight losses?
I don't think they do. I think they look at those. I mean, would they have preferred not to? Yes.
Sure.
But, like, I think they look at the circumstances, and you've heard me say this a million times. Like, dude, they were going to beat the Broncos.
Yeah, and the Bears.
And so those two, I think, are like, look, their defense was garbanzo. And I would also add that that's another layer to this. I think that group is so motivated to atone for that performance against Baltimore, because that's the last time we saw their frontline guys, and they stunk, especially obviously against the run. So I think there's a lot of things that make you feel good about them. But again, you know, any given Saturday in this case, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. And I know, I'm sure Bears fans are all giddy as well. They think they've got, you know, a Super Bowl shuffle team. But again, I just, it's not me throwing shade at them. It's just the way I feel. I just think that right now on January, I guess it'll be January 10th.
Correct.
They're the better team. And that may not be the case when they play each other for the NFC Championship a year from now.
Yeah. That's manifestation if I've ever heard it. Do you believe Saturday's result impacts Matt LaFleur's job status in Green Bay?
I mean, everything matters, right? And the optics would be bad. Like, I think it's worse to lose to the Bears than it would have been to, say, get matched up with the Eagles and lose to them.
Sure.
I don't know. Like, I feel like we're all guessing. And I hate that. Like, and I try to avoid that as best I can, because that's not what I am classically trained as a journalist to do. We don't guess. You know, your mom says she loves you, get a second source to confirm, right? Like, that's kind of how I've always been wired. So I have no idea what Ed Policy is thinking. And then, you know, earlier in the week, Adam Schefter says on Pat McAfee that, you know, it's more about, like, them coming to an agreement on what they're going to pay him. Like in his mind, you know, he's in a totally different place. It's just weird. So I don't want to play the conjecture game. I really don't. I just feel like I think they would be stupid to get rid of him.
I agree.
I really do.
I agree with you.
And I understand that there are a bunch of fans who don't feel that way. I get it. I just think it would be a mistake. And by the way, and let me just say this, because I did post that, you know, clip of Halfley's answer to me, and it went viral. It's got like 3,000 likes, and you know I can't stand Twitter anymore. It's just a cesspool. But and it used to be a really fun place. I really used to be into it, and it's not just because of Elon Musk Tausch. But I would say, like, just because he's great in press conferences doesn't guarantee that he's going to go be a head coach somewhere and be super successful. Now, do I think he will be? Yes. But let's not base that on, well, he's great in press conferences. Like, his guys swear by
it. It will certainly help the interview process.
It does, yeah. And look, again, he's not stupid. He's a really smart guy. You don't think the Tennessee Titans have seen that clip? Maybe even from my Twitter? Yeah. Right? Good. And so, again, I'm really eager for this game. Like, I'll admit that in the press box in Minnesota, while some of my colleagues were very loudly, while I was trying to write, cheering for the Bears and the Commanders because they wanted Packers Bears. Look, I love my job. I love what I do. I love being a dad more. And Sydney's got a volleyball tournament in the Dells on Saturday. And I would a million times out of a million rather go there than Chicago. It would have been nice if this game would have been Sunday. Then I'd be fine with it. But instead, it's Saturday night and I can't go to the tournament. And that sucks. Again, I'm lucky to have this job. I'm thankful for it. But, like, this is the game I wanted. It's just not the game when I wanted it.
Yeah,
but I can't wait for this game.
Yeah,
I really think it's going to be fun, and I'm excited. You know, again, having done this for as long as I have, from before you were born, like, I was in the press box. That was my first year covering the team for that Desmond Howard game that was the 30th anniversary yesterday. Like, there's something about big games for obviously coaches and players, and for fans. There's something about big games for reporters too. Like, it is cool to have the responsibility of chronicling what happens. And so I am looking forward to Saturday night. I just wish they had gotten the Monday night game.
A Monday night. I was hoping for Sunday night, but that's neither here nor there. Real quick, Jason, I know you got to get out of here, but about 90 seconds left, and I want to give you ample time to, well, not ample time, but some time to discuss something that means a whole heck of a lot to you, and that's the Tom Mulhern Stand-Up Award that you guys give to players every year that are awesome to the reporters, named after your mentor who passed away. Three recipients this year, Josh Jacobs, Christian Watson, Evan Williams. Can you just give us a little background into the award and why those guys received it for this season?
Yeah, so we vote on that. I went to the Heisman Trophy-style voting, 3 points for first place, 2 for second, and 1 for third. And those three were far and away the three leading vote getters. Now, Evan Williams did end up with the most votes, but I really felt like all three of those guys, and it's kind of become the one thing that I have control of over there. I decided that all three of them really were deserving. Christian and Josh Jacobs had won it before. So it's their second time for each of them. But Evan Williams, I mean, he is so Micah Hyde, it's unbelievable. Like, he reminds me of Micah so much, and Micah's one of my all-time favorite guys.
Does it have anything to do with the jersey number?
No, that was before I even knew they were going to wear 30. They both would wear 33. But he's, like, all three of them are great. You know, this is based – there's some other media groups that call it the Good Guy Award, and Tom Silverstein and I were both like, we can't, like – yeah, if we had been giving this award away back in the 2000s, we would have given Darren Sharper the award because he was great with the media. I don't want Darren Sharper's name on a Good Guy Award. And so it's the Stand-Up Guy, because they do stand up and they are accessible. There's a lot of guys who aren't. So and yes, we named it after Tom Mulhern, who passed away in 2014. He was one of Sydney's godfathers and also my greatest mentor among many. And so it is something that is extremely near and dear to me. And so I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about it. I got to finish my story about it. It was a little bit weird. I present the award and I don't like being I don't mind being the center of a conversation. I don't like being the center of attention. And so handing out the trophies, it worked out great yesterday because we had set them on a table and each of the guys picked them up. So I didn't have to do the presentation, the handing process, but it was fun.
Well, Jason, that is awesome. This was awesome. And Saturday should be awesome. It's Packers Bears at Soldier Field Saturday night. We are back with you next week, no matter the result. Hopefully it's Packers win and we're previewing the Seahawks, but we will see. Get Jason on Twitter at Jason J. Wilde. Get him at channel3000.com. And of course, I'm Wilde and Tash for all of your Packers coverage. Thanks, Jason.
Let's go through the Super Bowl, whether or not they go through the week after the Super Bowl, whether they're in it or not.
I agree. We'll do that. There's
Thank you for your
there's
service.
Our coverage plan. All right, talk to you next week on Weekly Wilde.